Our message this morning is coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 26. We'll be looking at verses 40 through 46. I'm not going to take time to read that entire passage. I'm going to start on down toward the bottom of that list. As Jesus spoke, he said, he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. Behold, the one who betrays me is now at hand." One of my favorite stories of modern day is the Apollo 13 story. Who hasn't at one time said in their life, "Houston, we have a problem"? That famous line that was uttered by Mission Commander Jim Lovell as the Apollo craft exploded traveling through space. Then there was Mission Control Chief Gene Kranz, who told a group of people who were trying to bring the crippled spacecraft home, he said, "Gentlemen, failure is not an option." Jim Lovell wrote a book years later called Apollo 13. In that book, he tells an amazing story about an airplane experience he had while he was piloting it, stationed on an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific. Jim said, "It was coming on dark, and I was quite a ways from the carrier when all the instruments on the panel went dark. I was literally flying blind. It was almost pitch black inside the cockpit, and outside, it was that dark as well. It would be hours before the sliver of a moon would rise. I tried everything to get the instruments back up, short of the Microsoft solution to reboot the airplane by shutting off the engine and starting it back up. I radioed my flight chief asking for his position relative to the carrier so I could at least be flying towards home instead of back out to the Black Sea. Amazingly, I was already dead on the stern of the ship at that very moment. All I had to do is keep flying straight, and I would be there. But how was I going to fly straight without my instruments? I mean, with all of my experience as an accomplished pilot, I flew like I'd been trained by the seat of my pants. But you know what? I knew that if I came in too low, I'd crash into the stern of the carrier. But if I came in too high, I'd overshoot the hook that catches and slows the airplane down. If the hook didn't grab my plane, I'd wind up in the drink for sure, right in front of that huge carrier traveling at least 30 to 40 knots. I changed my thought process when I got to that point because I knew I had to. After all, the chief had told me, "Never borrow trouble," he said. "We'll work it out when you catch up to the ship." Several minutes flew by. I found out later that the captain of the carrier had noted to one of the men standing nearby that I had just lost my radio contact. I'd noticed it, but I found out later what he told that crewman. He said, "Now I'm thinking this guy's had the worst luck in the world. How can he ever land on an aircraft carrier in the dark with no lights, no instruments, and now no radio?" About that time, as I looked down out the cockpit window, I saw the sea in front of me begin to glow. I recognized instantly what it was. It was the plankton stirred up in the wake of the big ship. Algae glowing in the wake of that big carrier. All I'd have to do is follow the glow and I'd be home in no time. Well, the closer to the ship I got, the brighter the sea got, and soon the froth that was churning up by the giant propellers of that big ship was glowing almost as brightly as a full moon. It was bright enough so I could gauge the proper height to land that plane on the carrier deck. No, it wasn't my most graceful landing, but I'm certainly glad it was a successful landing. You know, this past week, violent rioting and looting and vandalism has rocked and burned cities across America after the apparent murder of a black man by a white policeman, while other policemen looked on and a crowd gathered. That almost 10-minute video showed slow death by the officer's knee on the black man's throat, who was begging for air and calling for his late mother. That video went viral and resulted in arrest of all the officers involved. Some left-wing mayors and governors have praised the violence that followed, calling it justified. I think if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was alive today, I'm certain, based on the things he said during his lifetime, that he would denounce the rioting, but he would condone the protest. As a matter of fact, I would have joined a peaceful protest in this cause because I think their cause is just. But as Dr. King likely would have done, I would very much condemn the violence. You know, I wonder if those flames of rioting and looting have been lit, and they're spread across the land from sea to sea, and you wonder sometimes, where will it end? Someone once said that it's easier to make a flame leap into the air than it is to get a spark from the flint. If you've ever started a fire, you can understand the logic behind that analogy. In order for rioters to burn the huge warehouse that belonged to Amazon out in Redlands, California this past week to the ground, the fire had to be intense. You see, a single match could never have caused the three-alarm fire that tore through the giant warehouse in time to do that much damage without substantial planning and effort. Even a single Molotov cocktail that was thrown through a window wouldn't do it quickly enough. In order to get this building fully engulfed before the fire department got there, it took multiple fires being started in different locations throughout the building. And the location of these fires had to be coordinated and planned so that the building would erupt quickly. This could not have been done alone by a group of angry rioters without some sort of a plan and without adequate preparation and materials to accomplish it. The probability that the fire department would arrive too early to put out the fire, resulting in only minor damage, would result from a poorly planned attack on the building that was poorly executed. But the news about this whole rioting thing is not all bad. In Wichita, the leaders of BLM, that's the Black Lives Matter group, agreed to meet with the chief of police, Gordon Ramsay, for several hours. And according to the protesters themselves, the police and the protesters have agreed to a cookout together instead of rioting and to discuss the problems across the table and how they could resolve them. At one time, it was reported that three men, a black man, a Hispanic man, and a white man, sat down together with burgers next to a policeman, Lieutenant Travis Rakestraw, to share their ideas on how to solve and resolve the situation. It was the first time since 1992 that Jarvis Scott, the black man in the group, said that he had sat down with a police officer. The other two also said it was their first time ever sitting down with an officer as well. Police Captain Rusty Leeds said that the community policing force used to be a bigger part of the department than it is now as a result of the gang violence back in the 1990s. Rakestraw listened as Ivan Ray, a Hispanic student at the University of Kansas, he had recently taken a class on racial disparities. Rakestraw was impressed with how Ray framed the issues of police violence in terms of many other social issues, including poverty and education. "I don't think it's a conscious effort," Rakestraw told the group, "about why racial biases exist sometimes. I don't think anybody does it intentionally, but we fill in the gaps with life experiences and what we read in the paper, and we start to view people as a generalization instead of understanding people as individuals." All three men nodded. A godly woman that I knew many years ago used to say over and over again, "If you want to attract ants to a picnic, just bring honey. Honey attracts more people than vinegar, too." She was so right. Folks, I don't know what you think about all this with the violence and so forth, but Police Chief Gordon Ramsay causes me to have hope. This violence and all the mountainous emotions that are heaped on top of it does have a place where resolution can be found. Wouldn't it be nice, instead of instigators and people who provided bricks and other materials for the protesters to riot with, that Christians had been on the scene providing help from God's Word and soothing the anger of these angry people? Wouldn't it be nice if we stood there with compassion for a people who feel oppressed and have just had a needless murder take place, for everybody to see it, be met with understanding and God's love rather than a brick wall? Yes, it's risky. Yes, some people could have been injured. Perhaps a lot of that rioting could have been avoided if godly people using godly principles had practiced a lot of godly advice in the wake of these horrific events. You know, it's up to the peacemakers, as spoken of in Matthew's gospel, to help point the way for society to find peace. Come on, peacemakers, it's time for you to do your stuff. The bottom line is that nothing on God's green earth is truly hopeless. Write that down. Memorize it. Live by it. Never allow the enemy of your soul to tell you things are hopeless. With Christ, all things have hope. Never give up on that wayward child who grew up and rejected God and all he knew about from his childhood. Never give up on that relative who simply refuses to accept Christ. Never, ever stop praying and believing. A school system in a large city had a problem. They're trying to help children to keep up with their schoolwork while they were in the hospital. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child. She took this child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher. The teacher told her we're studying nouns and adverbs in his class right now, and the teacher went on to say, I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall too far behind the rest of the class. The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that very afternoon. Nobody bothered to mention to her that the boy had been badly burned and was in great pain. She was so visibly upset at the pain the boy was enduring, she stumbled and stammered as she kept trying to tell him, I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs. When she left, she hadn't accomplished much, she thought. But the very next day, a nurse approached her and asked, What did you do to that boy? The teacher thought she must have done something horribly wrong, and she started to apologize. No, no, said the nurse. You don't know what I mean. We've been worried sick about this little boy, but ever since yesterday, his attitude changed. For the first time, he's fighting back. His mom says he's responding to the treatment. It is a miracle. It's as though he decided he wanted to live. 2 weeks later, the boy shared with his workers and this teacher who had come to visit him that up until she came, he had completely given up hope until that teacher arrived. He said everything changed when he came to a simple realization. They wouldn't have sent a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a boy who's dying now, would they? He had hope. Hopeless? I don't think so. Not for 1 minute. This country is not hopeless. The situation in this country is not hopeless. Religious rights are not hopeless. The church that's still at home in some places and cases across the country because of a virus that's almost been forgotten about in wake of the riots is not hopeless. Somebody said, well, we're in the last days and nothing's going to change it. Well, if that's your attitude and you take the attitude beyond that, so what should I try to do anything because it's hopeless? I'm telling you, you've got the wrong idea. You see, the Bible tells us no man knows the day nor the hour of the coming of the second coming of the Lord. And if you act as though he's never coming, it'll be the same as the disciples staring, gazing into heaven when Jesus said, why are you standing here gazing into heaven? And at that moment, he gave them what we now call the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't quit. If you quit because you think the second coming is just around the corner, you're guilty of trying to predict the second coming. And ladies and gentlemen, there have been those who've tried that before and laughed out of the public square because they were dead wrong. The Bible said no man knows the day nor the hour. And I believe partly that that's because God the Father will decide when we stop praying and stop working, it's time for the second coming. But as long as people are praying and working, and as long as God's people are actively involved in spreading the gospel, I believe God the Father is holding it back even now. Yes, the signs are there. Most of them, as far as we know, except the rebuilding of the temple, and that could take place overnight. You know what? The Word of God is being spread from corner to corner all around the world. We have a son who is a missionary in Papua New Guinea with Wycliffe Bible Translators translating the Scripture into the language. They call it the heart language of the local people so they can read it for themselves. The idea of walking into a village, David told me when they were home, to see a group of people who have never seen a Bible. They've heard their missionary talk about it. They've heard him quote from it. But then for him to stand there in a language that was only spoken before, that he has now taught them how to learn the alphabet and basic words, and now to have a book and open that first book and begin to read in their language. David said there are so many tears and people falling to their knees, thanking God for a word of God and a word from God. Many people shared a copy of that Bible until they could get copies down there to everyone. And now everybody in village after village has a copy of the Word of God. Hundreds of thousands of people accepting Christ. Why don't you hear about that on the news? It's because they're more interested in sensational stories than they are in stories that make a difference. And you can tell them I said that. I've been involved in news for 20 years, and I can tell you that sensational news, maybe should I use the term sensationalized news, sales. That's what it's about, money. It's about getting a big audience and selling big advertising to big buyers because people are listening to sensationalized news. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one source of true news in the world, and we call it the Bible. Because in God's book, there is absolute truth. So if you're feeling hopeless right now, maybe you're at home by yourself. Maybe you're one of those who've contacted us, or maybe you haven't contacted us. And you sit at home week after week because you're shut in and you can't get out and your health won't let you leave and even the pastor doesn't come by and visit with you regularly anymore. Maybe the church people don't think to come by like they used to, and you don't see your family. Maybe most of them are gone or live away from the area or whatever the case may be with you, but you're alone and you feel forgotten. I can tell you this, it's not hopeless. It is not hopeless, not for 1 minute. Because every time you get afraid, every time that storm blows through, the lightning claps, thunder roars, God is on the throne. Let that be a reminder of you that God is in charge. He's in charge of you. And when God says it's time for you to go to heaven, you'll go to heaven. But not until then. And until that day and until that moment, when God says it's time for you to go to heaven, you're going to stay here. And He is going to take care of you every step of the way. God will bless you. Remember, you are loved. You need hope? God is the provider of hope. Hope for a place that when we finish this human race, His hand is taking care of us until we get there. And it just doesn't get any better than that. May God be with you always. Remember, God loves you with an everlasting love. And we love you too. Contact us anytime if you need to talk. Anytime if you need to pray. We are here to minister to you. May God richly bless each one of you is my prayer here on this Sunday worship. I want to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday worship here on this wonderful Sunday morning. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. And you can adjust that to the local time zone where you happen to be. Remember our budget drive this week. Pray for us. Pray that God will help us to reach that all-important goal of raising the budget so we can keep these radio stations on the air. Join us if you can. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday worship.